Where do the Cubs rank in payroll? Do you realize where they're at and how low they are? We preview the Cubs convention and best and worst of the week. It's a Friday episode right now.
Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Cubs. Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. Pleased to be with you for a Friday episode. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Sam and I are lifelong fans, taking our passion into a discussion with you on all things Cubs. Well, Sam, it's certainly been an exciting week for us here on the program. Want to close it out on this fantastic, fabulous, fun Friday, wherever and whenever people may be listening, and we're going to be starting off with a topic that, unfortunately, we as fans know too well about at this stage in the offseason and really the last few years of whatever era this is of the Cubs franchise, something that you brought to all our attention Wednesday on the interwebs.
Monday.
Twitter.
Monday.
And Carlos Correa has agreed finally to a 6-year, $200 million deal with the Twins. We're going to break that down in terms of the Cubs' perspective and otherwise. And then also just realizing that the Cubs are in payroll for the 2023 season, and it's a number that is, quite frankly, way too low.
Yeah, I brought that to your attention, I believe, was it yesterday afternoon?
Yes.
You were surprised by that. Look, there's a lot of ways to look at these things. It's not a black and white situation. The Cubs did some good things this offseason. I talked about ad nauseum on our show. They needed to add one of the shortstops. They did. They needed to add defense from the center field position. They did. They needed to add a top-line starting pitcher. They did something like that. I would grade their offseason around like a C. But what bothers me is they're one Carlos Correa away. And again, folks, this isn't one of those things. Please don't comment whether you want Correa or not. That's not what the topic is about. That's a separate topic. The topic is, if you're trying to win in 2023, you make an effort to go get him. Whether you think that's a good baseball fit or not, I don't really, that's beside the point. He could help you in 2023. That's a fact, right? That is not an opinion. And he was available, and they missed out on Abreu, and they never were in talks with Rodon and Senga. And then there was the Conforto and the Vasquez and the Mancini. If they just got one or two of those guys, you know, that could be the difference between making the playoffs and not. So my point is, and my point the other day on the show when I went on this Correa rant was, I think the Cubs just completely being out on Correa lets you know that whether fair or not, winning in 2023 isn't a massive priority, and that's frustrating. Now, I'll be the first one to come on this show a year from now and raise my hand if PCA explodes again in the minors and Alcantara and Canario come up, and then they spend a ton next year when they have a better idea of where their farm system is at. I'll say, okay, well, this was all part of the plan then. I get it. But right now, I have to judge what I see, and they haven't been transparent like Theo was, where Theo said this is going to take 3 years, whereas this is just year two. But I still really like this team. I think they're going to be pretty fun to watch. I just think that, like, another guy trading for a Yandy Diaz, signing a Correa, whatever it would be, would really put them in position to compete for a division title.
Absolutely. And I would like to rattle off the 13 teams ahead of the Cubs, if you don't mind.
Sure.
14th in MLB for payroll in 2023, and here's who's 1 through 13. You have some usual suspects, and it's like, whoa, let's stop reading.
Right.
Mets, Yankees, Phillies, Padres, Dodgers, Braves, Rangers, Angels, Blue Jays, Astros, Rockies, Giants, and about a million M's ahead of the Cubs, the White Sox.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
And it's a level of, I don't know if embarrassment's the right word, but
no.
But especially the three teams immediately ahead of them, it is a little bit off-putting. I'm definitely thrown off by it. Of course, there's proof that payroll doesn't equal success, because you look at what other teams and other cities have done that aren't even on that list that have won a ton of games. But the way that this is shaping up is a land of confusion at the very least. And maybe we get some clarity this weekend. Maybe there's a ton of headlines on Saturday. I don't know. And we're going to preview all the panels later in the show. But there is a weird spot in terms of the relationship of spending, competitiveness, desire to win in 23, and just trying to balance all of this as a fan and trying to determine what they're actually trying to do and if they're actually going to make an effort to do that or make an actual signing or trade.
I just don't see how you could look at this team right now and say that this team was not on a budget this offseason.
Right.
And I think what the Cubs did was realize, well, hey, we don't really have any money in 2023 tied up to anybody, but I think Hayward, Stroman,
Suzuki,
and whatever. So we can make it look like we spent a lot by adding Swanson, adding Tyone, adding Bellinger. But in reality, we're still going to be a middle-of-the-line payroll team because we just don't have anything really, you know, that's taking up our books. And, you know, I saw Patrick Mooney with a headline like the Cubs spent $290 million this offseason. What next? In one of his articles. I didn't read the article. And I just tweeted out. I was like, that makes it sound like they spent a lot. That's 290. It's over like 8 years of spending. Like right. they really didn't spend that much this offseason. They filled some needs. And like I said, that's why I give them a C for their offseason. I think every Cubs fan is in agreement of like, there's some good, there's some not so good. We're just confused at what the end game is. I've said on this show many times, if it were up to me, if I were talking to Jed Hoyer, I'd say I think the end game is seeing how these prospects develop for one more year in the big league club, trying to get a little advantage with the rule changes and seeing how that plays out, focusing on run prevention. And then once he has a better idea of what's going on in Iowa and in Tennessee for another year, then make your plan of attack. I don't understand how it could be anything different than that. But like I said, it just their conviction and what they said going into this offseason and then what they actually did, I just thought was a little bit marginal.
And when are they actually going to acquire an elite bat? When is that actually going to occur?
When in their opinion right now, probably when one of these kids comes up.
And I don't dismiss that because it worked before, and I am excited about a lot of these players. I truly am.
Yeah, me too.
Purvis, PCA, Canario, Alcantara.
And I'm excited about some of the guys on the big league team.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. Because the fact is they do have a pretty nice core, and some of those guys are homegrown.
Right.
But you should always look to supplement your roster and add pieces that can truly have an impact right away at the major league level.
Yep.
And quite frankly, if Jed Hoyer does not add an impact bat the next 12 months, I will move mountains. When is that going to happen?
You got to turn some stones.
I mean, And again, I would love if Matt Mervis and Brennan Davis just went off this year, and by October 1, they're everyday players in one context or another. That would be pretty sweet. But you would like to see them bring help in from the outside when appropriate. You don't want to force the issue, of course, but when there's fits, you know, try to pursue that. Not saying they didn't pursue it, but they weren't as, you know, hell-bent on it, it seemed like. Or they weren't as in love with that idea as we were.
From 2016 to 2020, when the Cubs were in their win-now mode, they were top five in payroll pretty much that whole time.
Right.
My guess is that they are not top five in payroll right now because they don't think they're ready yet. And that's what's frustrating to me, because I really believe that this team is a piece or two away from being in the mid to high 80s, which is good enough to make the playoffs, which is good enough to make a run like the Phillies did last year. You know, and that's what we want. I mean, we're fans, right? That's short for fanatics. I have spent so much time of my life, and then we could move on, rooting for the 2011, 12, 13, 14 Cubs, where you're watching and you know there's no chance. And then the second half of 2021 and last year, you know, brought those memories back, and it's not fun. And I want to root for a team that has a chance. And I do believe this team does have a chance to be pretty good, but I just don't quite understand why they weren't in on a couple more guys, unless the answer is secretly we're a year away. So we'll see how it plays out. I think it's frustrating. I think, and we're going to get to this in a second, I think with what they ask of the fans, they have to be top 10 in payroll, and that's frustrating.
Coming up next, we preview the Cubs convention. We're going to run down the schedule. Then we're going to simulate a couple of these panels and what might be asked or answered. Stick around. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories? Then you have to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and again, Happy New Year to all the listeners out there, and perhaps you're trying to eat healthier in 2023.
Had one today.
But don't want to compromise taste? Then we have the thing just for you. Sam said he had one today. I've enjoyed them when I've had it as well. It's Built Bar. When healthy is actually tasty. 100% real chocolate, flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. Also, the 4-bar boxes now in Walmart and Sam's Club, cookies and cream, double chocolate or coconut puffs. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. You don't have to wait around to get a box. You can go to built.com as usual, and now at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's BuiltBar.com, local Walmart and Sam's Club. Get a Built Bar today. Welcome back to Locked On Cubs. Thanks for making this your first listen every day and spending your Friday or your weekend with us, as we appreciate whenever and wherever you may be listening. And this weekend, for the first time since January of 2020, a couple months before the world changed, is the Cubs convention. And that's going to be in the great city of Chicago, of course. On Friday is going to be the opening ceremony, followed by Off the Mound with Ryan Dempster. And then, of course, Sam, an event called Harry Karaoke. Okay. And then Saturday, we have some more news-making potential. We have multiple panels, the Ricketts family, baseball operations, business operations, coaches, prospects, of course, the kids-only press conference, and if you stick around that far into the Saturday, at the Sheridan down there, Cubs bingo.
Okay.
And most of that is going to be aired live on the Marquee Sports Network. I know personally I will check some of that out. At least on Friday night. We're going to have a good time with this, Sam, because we're going to simulate two or three of these panels, and we're going to start with the Ricketts family.
Harry Karaoke?
Yeah, really appropriate name, right?
A little bit, we're starting to turn into like a Disney World organization.
Okay. Well, come on. It's a fan event. So if you go to the Cubs convention, I hope you have a great time. And I'll definitely be keeping an eye on what happens. What's with your body language, bro?
Good. Good. You keep an eye on it for the both of us.
I am. I'm going to. And
I'll keep an eye out March 30th.
And Cole Wright is going to be there with his whole marquee crew, and so I'll keep
it. It will be interesting to see. Like it's really the first Cubs convention since the entire organization changed.
It is
from marquee to being
Theo Jed,
a bad team. Theo Jed. So that will be interesting to see how the fans are received, how Ricketts is received, and I am waiting with bated breath.
So I believe what you're going to do is you're going to ask me a question.
Yeah,
and I'm going to be Tom Ricketts, right?
You're going to pretend to be Tom Ricketts. You're going to pretend to be Jed Hoyer. I'm going to ask you two questions, and then I'm going to pretend to be Crane Kenny, and you ask me a question.
Oh, fantastic.
And these are questions that I think if you're there or whoever asked the questions, somebody's got to ask this.
Yeah, get the microphone. Seriously.
And if you're there, you could just play my audio if you'd like. Here's my first question for you, owner, chairman, and CEO, Tom Ricketts. Hi, Tom. Sam Olber. I'll give you respect. You're like a billionaire. Hi, Mr. Ricketts. Sam Olber, Locked On Cubs
here. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Congrats on a couple of really nice signings. And very excited about those. Still wondering how, before the season, you told fans considering you said we're going to be big spenders this offseason and that the financial resources are unlimited. And considering the fact that you still have the highest in-game pricing entertainment level in the major leagues, you charge us basically $25,000 to get a beer and a hot dog. Do you think it's acceptable for the greatest fan base in sports, arguably, to be 14th in payroll just behind the Colorado Rockies? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, Tom.
Well, first of all, I appreciate your question, and there was a lot there. It's a lot to keep track of. It's
one simple question, Mr. Ricketts. Is being 14th in payroll acceptable? That's the question. I'm sorry that I set some stuff up for you, Tom. You should be a smart guy. You should know what I'm trying to do.
You know, I don't think that's an ideal place to be. You know, I think what we've done is we've had clear communication down the hallway with the baseball ops department. We've collaborated with Crane Kenny and his staff, and we like a lot of what's happening around Wrigley Field, quite frankly, with Gallagher Way and Hotel Zachary and the influx of all the businesses. And we've had state-of-the-art renovations at Sloan Park and Mesa. And we created a new state-of-the-art clubhouse at Wrigley and the 1914 club and all the video boards and quite frankly, everything has changed, but the marquee on Clark and Addison, but it's still a great experience.
Mr. Jones, your PI guy, Mr. Jones, is telling me to cut off. Do I get to follow up on this or no? Yeah. Could you just ask him for me, how in the hell does any of this translate into winning baseball games? Will he get to that? Will he get to that today or no, Mr. Jones? Okay, they're telling me I got to go.
And so we don't like to play the scoreboard with payroll because we know those can fluctuate at any time. Mm-hmm. But we have the resources to be a top 10 payroll and compete with anybody in this sport.
Wow, that was really well done. I'm going to translate really quick. I'm going to transition over really quick to Jed Hoyer. Totally different thing here, okay? Just want to be totally different. We're going to talk baseball now. Mr. Hoyer, Sam Olber, Locked On Cubs. Do you think, considering what the owner of your team charges for in-game pricing and what you said before the year that you were going to really spend focus, do you think being 14th in payroll is acceptable to your fan base? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, Jed.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because I was actually in the back for Mr. Ricketts presser earlier and I heard a similar question. And really from our department, I would say that we're trying to spend intelligently.
Right.
And what we want to do is we want to focus on the areas of need that we have, but we don't want to back up the truck just because we have that money, in the basement of this stadium. And what we're really trying to do is supplement our roster and trying to blend the the external pieces with the internal pieces. And we really hope that some of our guys graduate, like the Chris Bryants and the Anthony Rizzos of the world, and and that we could have players like that or even better once again. And when if and when this team is ready to win. And, you know, we explored the free agent market. We explored the trade market. We believe we did the deals to best help our ball club.
Yeah, and I will say, Jed, as we get ready for Crane Kenny to enter the table, and oh, wait, it's weird. Everyone's leaving. I will say, Jed, I think you did do a really good job executing on Swanson. I think you really
thank you.
I think you did an outstanding job.
It took a while, but we did get that deal done.
Yeah. I think you did do a really good job with Bellinger, and we'll see what happens with Tyone and the run prevention thing. I would have liked to have a
he's
guy.
He's already in Mesa, actually, him and his family.
Okay.
Yeah, he's training.
But yeah, so I do want to clarify. I do like some things we
did. Also re-signed Drew Smiley, and then we signed Brad Boxberger, Tucker Barnhart, and Eric Hosmer.
Yeah, no, I host a show. I do like a lot of the things you did. I just was maybe hoping for a little more. Okay.
And Sam, I did want to let you know that our office has been tuning in recently. We really enjoyed your Matt Mervis interview.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Jed. No brownie points here. If you guys stink, we're going to be letting you know about it. Okay.
All right. So I could put my fan hat back on.
Yeah. No, first of all, that was an excellent Hoyer and Rick. I almost feel like no one has to watch the convention now.
I know. I'd really like to put that out as a clip. It's just a little long.
No, yeah. Well, it should be long. You were terrific.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I have no idea how to imitate Crane Kenny, but I'll try.
Hey, Crane.
Speaking of Crane Kenny, the Bears hired Kevin Warren today. Go on.
Crane, thanks for your time, and good to be here at the Business Ops panel.
Yeah, hang on 1 second, Mr. Cozy. Yeah, no, yeah. Sarah, yeah, cash that check. Go ahead.
You know, I had a lot of different things that I was thinking about asking, including the Marquee Sports Network, Crane. But my question is really straightforward. Why do the Cubs have one of the highest priced tickets in the sport?
Well, Wrigley Field's a monument. It's a special place to be. And, you know, I think anytime you go to Wrigley Field, despite the product on the field, you're seeing history. And our focus throughout the last 3, 4, 5 years has been to make this organization not about a player or players, but the face of this organization, the face that runs the place, is Wrigley Field and the streets around Wrigley Field. Do you know that there's a Starbucks right across the street? You can go get a coffee before the game. I'm sorry, I can't. I mean, can you imagine how cool that is that we have like Starbucks and all this stuff? Yeah, no, I'm sorry, I can't.
The barbecue place and the taco place.
I just want to win baseball games, man. And to be fair, like I said, I really do think this team has done some good things. I think they're going to be fun. Man, if I hear the phrase or two words, Gallagher way one more time. I may just, you know what phrase I want to hear? There's a double down the right field line. The Cubs win this ball game. They've run 9 in a row. That's what I want to hear. Not. Oh my gosh. My kids played catch outside Gallagher Way, and I had a great nacho bowl for $62.99.
This is one of our best segments, I think, of all time.
No, I think our acting skills, especially yours, were really impressive. I can't. I couldn't keep a straight face with Kenny. The Starbucks comment got me.
Yeah, you really broke there. Oh, my goodness.
It's just, who cares? I want to win. I'm not one of these guys that goes to Wrigley Field for a beer and to meet women. I'm the type of guy that goes to see a 4-3 win, to sing Go Cubs Go after the ball game.
Understood. And to that point, we're going to get into
that Starbucks.
That's good. Yeah, maybe I'll go get a venti iced coffee after this.
I'll tell you, I won't need any sleeping help tonight. The Jaguars are on Saturday night.
Okay. All right, coming up next.
How do they put them on prime time for the playoffs? Are you kidding?
We finish up the show with best and worst next. We're back here on Locked On Cubs, wrapping up another week here of the off season. Thanks for sticking with us all off season and all show right here. My best of the week is, and if you haven't listened or watched yet, this is also going to be some promo, our interview with Matt Mervis, Cubs top prospect, future Cubs first baseman slash DH, perhaps as soon as opening day on March the 30th. And Matt spent 22 great minutes with us, and we hope you check out that interview. Also, shout out to Dustin Reese, who helped me get in touch with Matt. Sam?
Matt, did you have a favorite part of that interview?
Yeah, I think my favorite part was your opening day question.
Yeah, I think the thing I got most out of it re-listening to it was just his hitting philosophy and just like him breaking down the hitting and how kind of businesslike and confident he was. I think he struck me as somebody that he didn't say this, so I'm not putting words in his mouth. I'm saying from what I reading his body language words, I think he's ready to be in the big leagues.
I think so too.
That's what I got from the interview.
Right? I think he just oozed confidence.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I really do. It was good to see.
My best of the week probably has to be the weather in Chicago.
Oh.
I feel like the weather has become kind of like offense alignment in football, where you only hear about it when it's bad.
Yeah.
Yesterday I ran 25 minutes outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's mid-January.
Yeah, it hit 50 on Wednesday.
I was jogging outdoor.
I know. I'll rob and steal for this. Or that's the same thing, isn't it? I'll steal for this weather on our opening day in mid-March for high school.
Yeah, listen,
games.
If you tell me it reaches 50 March 30th on Clark and Addison, I'm not really sure that's bad.
Yeah, March 30th as well. No. Oh, that would be ideal.
You know, unless it's, snowing.
And it was sunny for three straight days.
No,
Monday,
you know, and
Tuesday,
I know
Wednesday.
I finally didn't have to take a vitamin D supplement.
Okay. All right, then I have a little bit of a twist to my worst of the week. Listen, folks, and I'm sure this will be announced at the Cubs convention this weekend. The Cubs and Coca-Cola announced that Coke is now the new, this is an exact quote, the new fan refreshment of the franchise, close quote. All Coke products are now available at Sloan Park and Wrigley Field. Why did it take this long?
I love that.
For years, I've had to have Pepsi products.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's usually something you know. I me and my Coke. Folks, I used to be a Coca-Cola addict. I have since curbed that addiction. I now do not drink it.
It's
but
impressive.
there was about a 3-4 year period there from age about 21 to 25 where I couldn't get through a day without a can. And it to this day, if I see it, I start getting jittery and I have to run away. I love regular Coke.
And it's not going to be available at Sloan Park and Wrigley Field.
And if you want Diet Coke, you can catch Eric Hosmer at the Cubs convention. Man, am I on today, huh?
Very much so.
Man, my worst of the week. I might as well make it a multiple choice. It has been a rough week.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, there's certain things I can't even say on air. I'll say my worst of the week because I know I can't be the only one dealing with this.
Right.
I am so sick of driving in the city and a week and a half later getting a red light photo enforced ticket.
Oh, I've heard about this.
You know, it is one of the biggest scams. I'm an inch over the line, $100. You could get somebody every single time they drive there. It's ridiculous. How broke of a state are we that we got to do this? I'm going to drive the 3-4 Cubs games, come back 400 more in debt. It's unbelievable. They don't go against your record. You just got to pay them.
Right.
And it's just every time I drive, there she is, $100.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's not even speeding. It's these red light. I creep over the line on a right turn, and you'd think I ran over somebody.
Fun show here on Friday. Be sure to subscribe on the video side on YouTube if you have not yet. Smash the like button and continue to engage with us by hitting the like button and or commenting. Shout out to all the audio peeps, Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcast. And we want to do a mailbag next week. Please send us your questions. The number's on the screen. 312-834-4634. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now make your second. Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. Locked On MLB Prospects, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. This podcast was Locked On Cubs. He's Sam Olber. I'm Matt Cozy. This is Locked On Cubs.